In response to the people who have sent me messages over the past few months with mostly the same question, here's how I avoid the massive potential to be overwhelmed. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Jeff Atwood, Daniel Boyd, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. The first thing I want to make explicitly clear is I have been overwhelmed all the time. There have been many cases where I've sat back and felt the oncoming pressure of a whole range of things I needed to do, promises I had been trying to fulfill, dates and numbers on papers that told me that if I didn't act soon, trouble was just around the corner. I'm not immune to any of those feelings, and I bring myself into a lot of situations knowing that it's going to be a tough road by the end to pull off what I'm promising. Exacerbating this are the constant, unending situations where people contact me about various folks losing items or the closing down of collections that mean that I suddenly have even more on my plate than I may have had before I picked up the phone or got the DM. There was a period in my life when I wasn't thought of as the go-to when a situation like this happened, but those days have been long gone for years. So, in conversation with others who have to deal with these sorts of onslaughts of concern and worry and attention, I usually find myself giving them some basic advice. First of all, no collection of items is worth your happiness, your sanity, your stress. That's a hard call in the moment. But keeping in mind that you're doing this voluntarily, or if not voluntarily, at the behest of something you have agreed has authority over you, takes away a small amount of the pressure that's weighing down. We have a habit of giving ourselves the harshest criticism, the most intense requests, and then treating these like irreversible dictums that came from the soul of the universe. But they're not. There are many different layers of commitment that one can make, up to and including just being the person who got the word out for others to join in. I recently dealt with the loadout of a house where the owner had died, and one of the people who had known him found that he was facing down hundreds of boxes and tapes, but didn't know where he could possibly store them. Reaching out to various folks he knew, one of them remembered my name, gave him my contact information, and within a week, we were co-organizing sending all of these boxes to the Internet Archive, where, hopefully, they'll find themselves digitized sooner rather than later. But in that moment, this person, who knew he wanted to do the right thing, was faced with an incredible amount of stress, trying to figure out how he could do what he needed to do. There was a family involved, there was a lack of storage space, and there was a timeline that was very compressed, 5 to 10 days. But talking to me and then having me reach out to a number of people that I knew in the same geographic area eventually led to a party of folks who loaded the tapes out, repackaged them into new boxes, and will be sending them out to the Internet Archive for later digitization. And for this person who wanted to simply save what he saw as a treasure, all of that stress just fell away. You'll go through life and suddenly get a call about a tragedy, a change, an ending of something that you thought would always be there or be there a long time coming. And then suddenly you find yourself in a different role, the role of having to do something about it before it's too late. The idea of too late can really take a person into a terrible place. It's a generality. And generalities are what I find really cause people so much heartache. Focusing instead on what you think you can do, communicating with as many people as possible, and understanding that your steps towards making it happen where more than would have happened before will at least give you a landmark in this fog of concern to feed off of, to stand by. Along my own personal situations, I find nothing stresses me more than air flight, airplanes, and more specifically, their schedules. There's something about knowing that in 2 to 3 weeks, I need to be somewhere within 2 or 3 hours of that time. And knowing how many different variables lie between now and then just stresses me out. My response is to show up to the airport way too early, hours and hours before the flight, to ensure that if anything goes wrong, it won't be on my side. I allocate so much time for security, for lines, for dealing with parking and transit, that more often than not, I find myself scrolling my phone and responding to people on Twitter for hours before the flight, sitting in the waiting area. Whether it was a couple missed flights over the years, or simply not having any control over the flight and it leaving no matter what I do, has put me in this position. And for others, there's similar fulcrums, where being told that there's a limited amount of time of a historical and unique collection before it's thrown in the trash or lost suddenly represents a heart-stopping stress in their lives, and one which they don't know how to climb out of. And to be clear, many of these collections that I've dealt with are unique. The person is not wrong. For every time that somebody offers me Byte magazine, a collection which is well at hand and doesn't need to be given, I'll have somebody talk about videotapes or magazines that I've never heard of before, covering things I can't believe made it to this present day. There are people who give me software that are prototypes, that are unreleased news-bound versions that we would otherwise never have seen, and I help where I can to get them online. There are pieces of ephemeral history that are, on one level, valueless, not representing products or final works, but yet to another group are completely priceless because they represent the in-process ideas that became the things, the cultural touchstones, the works that everybody knows about. Having a demo tape version, having a live recording, having a sketch, a drawing, an initial idea for something that found a final version months or years later, they're incredibly valuable, but only to a small group of people. I've held in my hands pieces of works that I'm really glad somebody thought was important enough to save to now. But I long ago stopped providing myself with all of the pressure and the stress, like I'm the slowdown, I'm the broken part in the machine. It is not true at all. We have, in our friends and our own personal toolbox, the ability to make up for lost time, misunderstanding, broken formats, unusual situations. We have all of that at our disposal. And worrying yourself into paralysis, depression, and in some cases I've seen old addictions helps nobody. Now, I'm talking about catching a plane or finding some old videotapes or floppy disks. But I think this philosophy works in a lot of other situations. When you imbue yourself with responsibilities that nobody else has made clear, and you find that you have to respond to those responsibilities outside of somebody else's command. On one level, you are definitely a person who is focused on doing your job, your volunteering work, your job, your hobby, your hustle to the best of your ability. But when it crosses that event horizon into non-functionality, into pushing yourself out of your mind, achieving a metric that only you know about, I just can't endorse it. I've met people who have spent years on projects where they come back to it every day, move a little forward. And in many cases, they certainly could have made it their one driving passion that ate 20 hours of every day and caused them to isolate, to hotbox, to intensify at a great personal cost. I have done that. I have slept for 2 hours a night. I have found myself waking up on the road. I've had breakdowns and screaming fits and all sorts of lashing out because I felt that I had disappointed myself as much as everyone else. I've recorded hundreds of hours of footage, and some of that footage has been lost. I've wept over that footage, wept over the wasted energy and the wasted time, but I need to have realized what a small percentage of it was and how the factors that led to it being lost were, in many cases, completely unavoidable. They stand not as monuments to my incompetence, but scratch marks on the sides of a tool that I learned to master. We are functionally making a lot of things up as we go through life, putting ourselves in positions that have no simple how-tos, no simple guides on what to do next. We're smart people. We understand what we're looking at, and we do our best with what we have. But the side effect of dealing with outside factors, especially historical ones, means that for some people, for some types of personalities, there is a quiet, judging audience of those who came before us, who may have in some way been better at certain things than we were, and who look down in our minds at how we are doing things now. But I'm here to tell you, that's a lie. We go through life doing our best, improvising with what we have, taking advantage of the time we get. No hour can be made into two. No task can be sent back in time for another try. We travel along a track with an unclear ending, glancing around, full of wonder, full of curiosity, maybe even a little empathy for where everybody else's trip is headed. Looking forward at whatever bumps and unusual turns and unclear destinations, unexpected moments that we are going to encounter. This is where I stand, speaking into a microphone for a project that was meant to alleviate debt and became a combination of therapy, philosophy, memory, and occasionally oversharing. We don't know everything. We never did, we never will. But taking all of that into account, sharing our thoughts with others, never being afraid to ask for help or perspective, doing the best with what we have is, I think, the most any of us can really ask for. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Josiah Lusher, James Bekoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Emilio Oliveira, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Craig Talbert, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Trixie the Cat, John Sturm, Eugene, Martin, Sembiance, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. I hope this helped somebody, that somebody out there didn't know they needed this advice, and they got it. If you're that person, and you find somebody struggling, please offer them help, offer them advice, and understand if the assistance isn't wanted, you did the best you could.